How's your week gone? I wonder how your week's gone. I wonder if it's been a lot like mine, just trying to stay sane. But I do hope that your week has been full of grace and peace. And I know when I say that word grace and peace, it can be hard to imagine. Because in the middle of what's going on in the world, it's hard to imagine us being at peace when there feels like chaos is all around us. It's hard to imagine grace when worry and fear dominate the news for the day. Yet, I want to give you some encouragement. Grace and peace are still all around us. We just have to pay attention to it. We have to notice it a little bit better. And when we do notice it, when we do see it, I want you to name it. We've got to name it. We've got to stop in that moment and name that time of grace and peace. And then we also have to trust that it's there. We have to trust that grace and peace are all around us because we do believe as Christians that Christ is all around us. You know, I was thinking about this week, and I've talked about it a few times, about us trying to find these moments of silence to be with God. And I was thinking about what I do with Anna Lee when I take her to school. When I take her to school, and I know I say that's been a while, right? School feels forever ago, doesn't it? But when I take her to school, we have this daily ritual of when I drop her off, she gets out. And when she gets out, and she never hears me say this because she gets out and shuts the door. But as she gets out and shuts the door, I say this to her. I say, Christ above you, Christ below you, Christ before you, Christ behind you, Christ in you. And I've done that every day for the last year. And why do I do that? Because I need reminding that as she goes into the world for the day, not with us, but as she goes into the world for the day, as she encounters others and as she experiences her day, that she is not alone in this. She is not in this whole thing by herself. And in fact, it reminds me that in her day, grace and peace, and I want you to know what I'm going to say here, grace and peace is, not was or could be, that grace and peace is, in fact, present with her, all around her. And this is the big part of the day for us today, is this, is that grace and peace are in her. Grace and peace are not just all around her, but they are also a part of her, in her. She has a role to play in being grace and peace. And right now, that's what I want you to remember as I talk to you. Because I think this is something that we need to be reminded today. And I know it's something that I need to be reminded today of. And I want you to remember this, is that grace and peace is all around us. God, through Christ and the Holy Spirit, is working this grace and peace all around us. We have to pay attention. But also, you can be grace and peace in this world. So my question to you is this, how's the Lord's Prayer going for you? Are you continuing to say it when you get up and when you lie down? I mean, be honest there, sitting there. Have you really done it? Because if you haven't yet, let me encourage you with this morning as we read it, and then moving forward. Let me encourage you to read the Lord's Prayer when you wake up and when you lie down. It is the prayer of the people of God through Jesus. This was Jesus' prayer, and now he invites us to pray it today, tomorrow, and the rest of our days. So read it with me. Say it with me as you stand and as we read Matthew 6, 9 through 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment in time. And Lord, as we are sitting in our homes with our families, as we're watching on our TV or on our phone or on our computer, Lord, we are thankful in that moment that we have these ways in which we can stay connected with one another. That while we are a community that is separated, we come together in this moment as a community, pray your prayer, pray with one another as a family. And so, Lord, in this moment, I pray that our hearts and our minds are open to what your Spirit wants us to hear, who your Spirit wants us to be. And in this moment, Lord, I pray that you transform us more into your likeness. It's in your Son's name we can pray. Amen. Here's the thing about the Lord's Prayer. It can be our prayer to God, like I said last week, when we don't know what to pray, when words fail us. And as we experienced last week, it is a prayer of both hope and comfort. It reminds us that God is present and that God is our Father as we start the prayer. It is a prayer that reminds us that from the beginning, God has had a desire to have relationship with his creation. When we begin the prayer with our Father, we enter into a community of saints who have been looking forward to God's salvific reign, to when God will come back in all of God's fullness. And in hope, as we pray this, we look towards God's rescue. Why? Because through the entirety of Scripture, as we have read it, we have seen that God has rescued creation, that God has been for creation, not against it. Even when it can feel right now, God has never been against it. God is always for it, redeeming it. So when Jesus shows up on the scene in the Gospel of Mark, he announces in Mark 1:15, which is one of my favorite part, beginning of the text, is this: the time has come, he says, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. He announces coming and says, the kingdom of God has come near. Now, the word kingdom that Jesus announces in Mark was a word of excitement to some. Remember how the disciples acted in Acts 1:6 when Jesus is resurrected. They say this to Jesus. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? This was excitement for some when Jesus announces that the kingdom of God is near. But this announcement by Jesus is also a rebellious word to others. I mean, announcing a kingdom coming within another existent kingdom is seditious to the ruling authority. Yet, what Jesus is doing in Mark 1, what Jesus is doing, what the disciples are wanting in Acts 1, is he's putting the kingdoms and the empires of the world on notice. He's telling them something new has entered into the world. But here's the thing about the word kingdom, and when we think about the kingdom of God, the kingdom Jesus is talking about is not some ethereal idea that is located in the great beyond. And while I love to sing, I'll fly away, Jesus is not telling us to be ready to fly away one day. Heaven is prepared for us, but Jesus doesn't want us to be just trying to make it through life to get to heaven. The kingdom that Jesus is announcing is not some disembodied idea that we wait for. No, it's actually when we read it and talk about it, we notice it is a real and tangible thing. In Matthew 11, as Jesus is talking, notice what he says to John's disciples in verse 4. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have been given good news brought to them. This idea of kingdom for Jesus is a real, tangible way. In the words of a friend of mine, he would say, this kingdom is a thing. It's an actual thing. And as N.T. Wright tells us, and N.T. Wright reminds us, he says this. He says, whatever Jesus' kingdom announcement was all about, it was something that actually happens within the space, time, world. I want you to hear that. This kingdom idea is an actual thing that happens within the space-time world. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are not praying about something that will come one day. Instead, we are praying about a kingdom that has come in the person of Jesus Christ and is continuing to break into the world on a daily basis. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," as disciples of Jesus, we are joining and announcing that we are joining with Jesus in this actual kingdom reality. Our voicing of the Lord's Prayer once again puts the kingdoms and the empires of the world on notice. It puts the powers and principalities, using the words of Paul, on notice that their time is up, that a new kingdom has entered into the world, and we will participate and be a part and bring that kingdom into the world. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is inviting us to participate in a new reality. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are acknowledging that faith in Jesus is not simply an idea or an emotion. Faith in Jesus is not just an idea. As disciples of Jesus, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are telling the world where our citizenship lies. We are telling the world how we will live in this world. We are telling the world how we will treat others in this world. When we acknowledge our citizenship in this prayer, we are actually reminding ourselves who we belong to and what our deepest desires are. That we desire for the kingdom of God to come. Because you know, we know it has come in Jesus. But what we do know is that it's not quite fully here yet. I mean, we're reminded of this today. We'll be reminded of this tomorrow. We're reminded of this as we sit in our homes with our families, as maybe we have conversations with our kids, explaining to them why they can't see their friends, why they can't go out and do things. Because the world still hurts. It's still out of step with the reality of God's kingdom. And here's the thing. Knowing that doesn't mean we don't do anything. Knowing that the kingdom of God is here, but it hasn't come in its full reality, doesn't mean we don't do anything. It doesn't mean we point fingers at who's to blame for the hurt. Because when we do that, we just continue to feed the beast of what the world wants us to do. The world wants us to do that because then we forget that we're participating in the kingdom, bringing good news, being there for others. When we pray, "Kingdom come," when we wake up and when we lie down as the Lord's Prayer, it is our reminder that from the moment we wake up to the moment we lie down, that we are participating in bringing a little bit more of the kingdom to our house and to our neighborhood, to our workspace. I know you're doing a lot of that online, but when you talk about it online, we're reminded of all of that we don't do nothing, that it calls us to do something. That though we see the world hurting, we don't shut the world out and say, "Well, wait till heaven." No, we find ways to be compassionate. We find ways to live as Jesus lived. We are there for others. We hurt with others. We show others a different reality. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are reorienting ourselves with the kingdom that broke in through Jesus. One of the best metaphors I've read about this, one of the best metaphors that when I was reading it, I was like, that's it. That's exactly it. It was said this way. It said, when we read the Lord's Prayer, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, what we're doing is we're retuning our instruments. We're retuning ourselves to be in harmony with what God desires, with what Jesus is calling us to. And if we think about it that way, that we're retuning our instruments, we're retuning our bodies to be kingdom people, we're retuning ourselves to be grace and peace in this world, then us praying your kingdom come is a needed cry for our time and place. Because I think we all need a little retuning now, don't you think? I mean, over the last few weeks, I don't know how many of you have had it, but my stress level's been high. My anxiety has been high. I mean, our lives have been different. I mean, our lives have been out of whack. I haven't spent this much time in the house, and probably you as well. I'm sure your family, like my family, is learning a lot about ourselves in this time. What annoys us and what makes us happy? And I can also imagine it's been a time in which your family has laughed and loved and even cried together more than you ever have. And it's in all of these moments that I want you to realize that these are powerful moments. That in all this time that you're doing, that these moments have good news wrapped in them. And in the midst of the bad news of the world, praying the Lord's Prayer, praying the Lord's Prayer as a family is the subversive moment of God. It changes our visions to God's vision. Remember this, as we're going through all of this, and as we're trying to deal with this, and as we're working through this, retuning our instruments is a good thing when we read the Lord's Prayer, because what it can do is it can change our vision. When we say, your kingdom come, we're not saying my kingdom. We're saying your kingdom, the kingdom of our Father who art in heaven. It's a story that was told one time was this, that the preacher who was, as he was preaching to the congregation, he said this and said, wait, I should have been more clear when I said this your kingdom come thing. It wasn't talking about your kingdoms, the kingdoms built on success and achievement and earnest striving. I was talking about the kingdom of God. And that's the beauty of this when we pray it. The Lord's Prayer invites us to see the world through God's eyes, where we can participate in that world that God's bringing, where we can be kingdom people and other people can encounter kingdom life. And now, more than ever, we pray for God's kingdom to come in its fullest, with the hurting and the difficulties and all the stuff that is surrounding this, in the fear and the anger. Now more than ever, do people need to encounter compassion? Do people need to encounter a kind word? Do people need to encounter empathy? So that we can understand that fear and anger and hurt are going to be a part of this. And instead of judging that fear and anger and hurt and telling people they should be something else, what if people rubbed up against another kingdom person and instead heard empathy and compassion, who experienced neighborly love in a way they never have? So here's what I'm asking you to do. In the midst of all of this, this week, where can you be a kingdom person? This week, where can you show compassion? This week, where can you show empathy? This week, where can you show neighborly love? As you pray, your kingdom come, let those words wash over you and excite you to be the kingdom person for God, to be a person who invites the kingdom into your neighborhood. Where can you be that person? And so I say this as I close. And I do this as a reminder to you as much as a reminder to me. But I give you these words, the words I give Annalee every day. Christ above you, Christ below you, Christ before you, Christ behind you, and Christ in you. May your bodies and lives be retuned to the word of the Lord, and may your bodies and lives be retuned not to the kingdom of the world, but to the kingdom of God, so you may live as one. This morning, if you have any needs, if you have any struggles, if you're going through anything, you can email us. Please email us. You can text us. Please text us. You can call us right now. Please call us. We'll say a prayer for you in this moment. Elders are praying for you throughout the entire week. So just know that we are here for you. Anything you need, call.